back to the Book Cave. For anyone who just happened across this podcast or might be unfamiliar with us, we run the Book Cave blog on WordPress, where we review books and post about author events and conventions. Hi, I'm Anastasia. I live in Connecticut, and our get to know you question this time is, which fictional world would you most like to live in? Jennifer?
So I thought about it, and there's a lot that I think I would like to live in, but also they come with like actual instances where I might die. And like, I really thought about it. I'm like, I think I need plumbing, indoor plumbing. So I settled on Midgard in the Crescent City series, because then I have magic, I have my cell phone, I have plumbing, and I have like everyday amenities, which I don't think I could live without. What about you, Jess?
Didn't that whole world almost die?
Wait. We're just talking about, does it matter what happened to them or just where I want to live?
You're the one who brought in the most likely to live and are least dangerous, I guess, is what you're trying to say.
That's
and
then what I was I like, think I was trying to say.
Didn't the whole world like almost implode? I don't remember.
Don't worry, Bryce saved us all.
There was some really weird stuff that happened at the end of that book.
I just want to be able to potty in a toilet in a closed door room and flush it. Like, I think that was my number one list on there.
Okay, well, I did take that into account, like survivability. I'm Jessica, by the way, from St. Louis. Survivability was important to me, but then I don't know, all of the books world seem to be so like you are either in the powerful group or you're not, which I know is every book, but I think I picked Harry Potter because as long as you're in the magical world, not a muggle, you it just kind of was like how hard you worked. I mean, there were some people who had like aptitudes towards certain things, but if you're willing to put in the work and learn all the things, then you could be good at a lot of things. So I liked that aspect of it. It wasn't just like you were born a high fae or a low fae or a human or whatever.
Did all of them almost die?
They did. Some of them died. That's every book. But the whole world didn't just like almost cease to exist.
Implode, yeah. You're right. Just almost half of the magical world.
Just the people almost died, but the world itself
still a-okay.
was still there.
Yeah, I also considered survivability, but I thought of like, as I am, as a human, what world could I actually survive in without like having to be turned or like suddenly gain magical powers? I thought that the Lux series world by Jennifer Armentrout would be kind of fun, because I was like, aliens being in the world, I think I could at least I have a chance. I've got a chance. And I would love to see some of those aliens in real life. They sound awesome.
I mean, I would love to see Damon. Holy hot alien babies. Yes, please.
Exactly. So, yeah. All right. In the first half of this podcast, we're going to talk about books we've read recently and books or events that we're excited about. This first half and all the reviews on our blog are spoiler-free. While in the second half, we're going to do a deep dive into A Curse Carved in Bone by Daniel L. Jensen. That part will be full of spoilers, so if you haven't read that book yet, we will let you know when to stop listening. There will be a spoiler-free review on our blog. To start us off, Jennifer, what have you been reading this month?
Okay, so
70,000 books.
No, so I only read 5 books this month, which which is pretty low for me. My average is like 9. And a bazillion of them were reread. So you guys just know that that's what I do. I reread Lady of Ashes by Melissa K. Roach. I've talked about this series before, I'm sure, a bunch of times. I was rereading it because the final book in the sister series, the Legacy series, was supposed to come out in August, but now that's been pushed to November, so who knows if I'm going to have to reread some of these. But before then, we'll see. I also reread City of Gods by City of Gods and Monsters by Kayla Edwards. And that's in anticipation of her fourth book, City of Smoke and Brimstone, which comes out next Tuesday, July 8th. And I'm super excited for it. And I've also, I'm pretty sure, talked about that series, so I won't bore you guys with my not great recaps of book And one more time, in true reread fashion, I reread Never Keep by Susan Valenti and Caroline Peckham. It's set in the same world as Zodiac Academy, and I've already sung the Twisted Sisters praises on this podcast, but I'll say it again. Every single one of their series is definitely worth rereading. I just love the way that they connect all of them together. Even if they don't mention the same people, it's just like the world is still like there, and it's just really incredible. And I know, Jess, you don't like vampires, but I'm still hoping you'll read it, because Anastasia read that series and I think you'll love it too.
I think I have two books left in the main one.
Then you need to move on to this one, and then you also need to read Ruthless Boys. You have a bunch, Anastasia. I'm gonna hold you to them all. And then as for the one book I reread, technically I reread Echo Fort, which was Sins of the Zodiac. That's the second book after, Never Keep. But, anyways, my actual new reread was Blood and Betrayals by Alex Roon and Jeanette Rose. And it came highly recommended by a book talker I love. It is supposedly around 1,000 pages in the actual printed book. I don't know. I read it on my Kindle. And she compared it to Zodiac Academy. So I was like, okay, yes, I want to read this if you're saying that it's that good. I gave it 4 stars and it is long. It's definitely long, but all of that longness together and everything that happens in it, it's definitely good. It's just long, so I'm not sure how everyone will take that. But if you enjoy magical universities and it has like a mystery thriller stalker thing to it, and then plus lots of spicy romance, like so much spicy romance, and then actually a throwback to angels and in the fantasy genre, which I haven't had since maybe 2013, so that was like a fun little twist. I definitely recommend it, or at least it's worth giving it a try. But I don't think I can sing its praises until I've read the second book, or maybe even finish the series, so if I can see if, as a whole, it worked. But read at your own risk, if you have time. What about you, Jess?
I'm usually strictly a YA girly, but I have picked up a couple of these adult books that they're YA books, and they're just pretending to be adult, and it's kind of annoying me because the main character still acts like a teenager, but they're like, oh, but she's 24, and I'm like, yeah, she doesn't act like it. Anyway, so I read Starlight Air by Emily Howard. The main character is a bladesmith that gets invited to the palace to compete to be the prince's bride, but it's not really that kind of competition. You think, oh, well, you know, selection. It's not. They're really just secretly trying to find this person that has been prophesized as the star keeper, someone who has the magic of the stars in their blood. So they're basically rounding up all these women that were born under the same sign and putting them through very stressful trials to try and make them reveal their magic. And, they do. then it turns into a whole nother game. But, I wasn't into it. There wasn't anything super original. The magic was different, but it just kind of felt like I've seen all this before, and also the main character wasn't that interesting, so I gave it 2 stars. I read two, I'm gonna skip the next book because Anastasia and I both read it, but I also read two graphic novels this month. One was Elena, which is a graphic novel version of The Song of the Lioness, a Tamora Price book, which I just like those. I like when they take a novel and turn it into a graphic novel and I can revisit the world quickly. I'm not a big rereader like Jennifer. But I saw this on the shelf in a bookstore and I was like, ooh, I think I've read that. And I had, and it was great to revisit all that. I do hate that you have to wait forever for the next graphic novel to come out, but, you know. The other one was Miss Camper, and that one's a little, it's a series, I think it's a middle grade series, and I got an arc of it at C2E2, and it was sitting there, and I said, why not? And I picked it up and I read it. It was cute. That's a girl who goes to camp for the first time, like a sleepaway camp, but she has to take her younger sister along, and that makes it a lot less fun. And she gets annoyed and all the hijinks there. So it was really cute. Then Anastasia and I both read The Trial of the Sun Queen, which Jennifer has read the
whole
series.
Which I've already read. Apparently. Which I've talked about on this podcast.
I was like texting the group. I'm like, who read this? I know somebody read this. And Anastasia's like, I'm reading it right now. Or next or something like that. I'm getting ready to read it. Start it today.
You only read the first book though?
Yes.
Okay, I love this series. Lore.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't like it? I'm ready. Go ahead. Take it. I'm ready.
This is another one of those. I feel like it's a young adult book pretending to be an adult book. Like,
you haven't reached. There's still two more books.
Isn't there more than two? Oh, there's like three more.
There's three.
Oh, I don't know. I looked it up. I thought I saw more. Anyway, I also just. Anastasia and I talked about this. This just felt like somebody wrote fanfic where Selena from Throne of Glass was in ACOTAR instead of Pharah. I was dying. Like, every page, I'm like, oh, this is so-and-so. Like, pairing off the characters. Like, that character is that character, and that character is that character. And, oh, of course we're going to do that now, because that's this. It was
Wait,
very distracting.
You haven't even gotten the story. It's
gonna
shift.
I haven't even
now.
Gotten there. I know. I'm very aware it's gonna shift. I called that from the beginning.
It kind of shifts the same way.
I know.
There are four books total in this series.
I was gonna say there's four.
Are there four?
Yeah.
I just checked it.
There's the Aurora King. Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, no, there's more than three.
Wait, there's four. My bad.
Yeah, so as soon as it was introduced, I was like, oh, he's so-and-so, and just kept going. And Stacia, what did you think?
I didn't think it was as bad as Justin. I liked it. I didn't mind the main character. I thought she was fine. Like, maybe she's not the most, like, memorable main character ever, and I didn't really think, like, she was acting too young. I was like, she's been stuck in a prison for 12 years.
Her whole life!
So, like, since she was 12, so her acting a little young, if she did, like, wasn't that big of a deal. Because, like, who's raising her, really, in a prison?
Prison, yeah.
Right? I definitely saw the comparisons. I also threw into the mix The Selection.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't read those, so
which
I don't...
she didn't
I
read,
wouldn't.
Yeah. So yeah. I was.
I wouldn't have caught that.
Because I was thinking, oh, it feels just like it. Like girls pick from the different regions of the kingdom or whatever to compete for the prince's hand or whatever. Exactly. That is The Selection. But it's also magical. And I remember texting Jess and being like, I feel like the blonde guy is sketchy. because it reminded me of ACOTAR, and because so I was like, you know, it's all sunshine and bright and spring like, and I was like, are we going that direction? Maybe, who knows?
Like, just wait, you'll know as soon as the other one. It's like, oh,
but,
okay,
you know, I don't mind when sometimes if like tropes are repeated and stuff, as long as I'm having a good time. And I was having a good time. Like, of the books I've read, like the newer ones that I've read recently, it was more fun than some of the other ones I was reading. So I enjoyed that, and I plan on trying the next one because I've had other series, but in the past, that pulled little tropes like that from other series.
That was a
and
little.
You could very clearly see what it was that they were inspired by, but the rest of the series went in a totally different direction. So I think it's promising.
I know I like everything, but I promise you I didn't even notice too much of the ACOTAR stuff until you guys are pointing it out.
And you're like, oh, wow.
But I promise it's good, and it gets better.
I did give it 4 stars.
Oh, good.
I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I read it really quickly. And, like, again, I've had other series where they very blatantly were inspired by another book I read, but I loved the book so much that I didn't care, and the rest of the series was so different that it was just like, whatever. Who cares if they were inspired? It was fun.
Well, I want to say that the rest of the books don't follow ACOTAR at all, but actually I would need to sit down and think about it before
I read them.
Before I make such a blatant statement.
Well, I plan on reading the next one. It's on my to-read list somewhere, you know, so I'll let you know if it's ACOTAR book 2.
I have the next one on my bookshelf. I already requested it from the library. I am not sure if I'm going to read it or not, but I did request it. That's why I knew how many there was, because I looked it up. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to request all of them. I'm just going to request the next one.
There you go. Start slow. Oh. She's such a nice person, too. I met her at Romantasy BookCon. Also, sorry, I know Anastasia, you're talking, but I just wanted to say that I think the first line in that book is like, that bitch stole my fucking bar of soap or something. And it's so funny. It was like such a great opening line. I loved it. I think she's a great author. But she's definitely more like a 3 to 4 star read. So, but I gave it 5, but that's just me.
I think I was more entertained by drawing the comparisons than the story. That was my problem. But I am doing that same thing, drawing comparisons in this book I'm reading right this second, but I'm more entertained by the story than the actual comparisons. But you can't, it's just, certain things are so overdone right now, you know? They're all the guys have dark hair. All of them have shit.
All of them are shadow daddies, yeah.
This one's not a shadow daddy, but he's got the tattoos all up and down his arms. And, you know, it's like, okay. Same old, same old. But anyway, that's what I read. I didn't read a lot this month.
So as for me, I read 4 books. One of them is A Curse Carved from Bone, so that's later. One of them was Trial of the Sun Queen, which we discussed. And the other two were for my book clubs.
Okay, well then let's move on to book club.
Yep, so... Yeah, so for book clubs, my teen book club, they chose to read the first Harry Potter book because they wanted to reread it. And so I was like, all right.
Okay. Love it.
So I got to reread Sorcerer's Stone this month, which was very nice. A great break from some of my other reads. Especially since my selection for the adult book club was so terrible. I was so mad. So... It ended up being that I picked a book, and the book club I go to in, like, outside of work also ended up switching the book for that month to this one, too. So I had double the reasons why I had to read it and finish it, and I really did not want to. We read The Games Gods Play by Abigail.
Oh my god, I was like, what is it?
I did not like this book, and I was really mad that I didn't like it, because... The description made it sound like exactly what I would want to read. You know, I love Greek gods. I like, you know, the romance. It was supposed to be a slow burn. And it's also mixed with the Hunger Games. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. Plus, the main character is supposed to be this, like girl that's working for a den of thieves. And she was cursed by Zeus as a baby to be unlovable. And I was like, that would be really interesting. But it wasn't. It was terrible.
the worst. When you're like, this could have been really good, and you just didn't pull it off.
Yeah, the story was just off the whole time. I was really stuck on a few, like, the pacing was weird. The way they chopped up the book into, like, it was, I swear, almost like 100 chapters in this like 400 page book.
Wow.
And 6 parts with no reason for it. It did not make any sense at all. I don't know why they chopped it up like that. It would be like in the middle of a set, like a conversation, like not even a really like important dramatic one, and they would just stop the chapter and pick it up again in the next chapter on the next page. But it would say like chapter like whatever, and I'd be like, why did we do this for like a dramatic pause? I don't understand what is happening. And again, this is another one where there is no slow burn. He gives her like a weird little nickname the first 5 seconds they know each other within 20 pages.
So like, wait, I have to have a question. Did the not slow burn play a part in it? Because I really wanted to read the series. It had good reviews, like by book talkers. So if that was
a
reason
for
your...
It doesn't make any sense.
No. So if that was a reason for your lower stars, I might still read it.
That was only a part of it.
Okay. Like, okay.
There was no slow burn. That does not make any... That is absolutely not what's happening there. It is not slow at all. I do not like it when books claim to be a slow burn, but then do not deliver on that. Like they're kissing within like a week of knowing each other. Like, I know they're like excuse or whatever for it or whatever, but you know, slow burn is supposed to build, you know, the tension and stuff. And I'm having a really hard time with all these people saying slow burn that they're not doing it. Like, if they don't say it's a slow burn, then fine. Okay, fine. I'm not expecting it.
But are the people saying slow burn, or is the publishing company saying slow burn? Because I feel like that's definitely something that has to be pointed out.
It was
out.
In the description.
People are idiots, what she's saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, everyone will say everything is this and it's that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it was literally in the description somewhere, or like the author wrote like, oh, it's a slow burn romance. And I was like, no, it's not. No, it is not. Not even close. Like, and it is okay for it to not be a slow burn. But if I'm prepping myself for a slow burn, ready for the yearning, and I don't get it, I'm mad. Especially since this is one after another at this point. Like, make it feel earned. But beyond that, the pacing was real weird. Like and the characters felt really off, and like I wasn't connected to any of the characters at all. I didn't understand them, and they made some interesting choices with the myths. Like, they killed off Persephone a little bit, and that was weird because Hades, of course, is the new love interest. So instead of just being like, yeah, I don't know what I would have done, but I felt like it was a weird choice.
They're like, kill her off, then it's okay if she gets with him.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the book clubs and encouragement through the group chat, I would have DNF'd it. But I gave it 2 stars.
Okay, I definitely am not reading it.
The online ratings, though, are really high. I do not understand it, but they are high.
But something is... kept me from reading it. I'm just not getting the right vibes from it. And so you and I usually have similar ratings and like enjoy similar stuff, even though you didn't love Quicksilver, and I'll always not understand that 100%. But I'm just saying, I take usually your reviews like pretty well. So if you say it, I'm not gonna try to read it for a while. It's not on my
Honestly,
list.
I feel like I need a break from this type of fantasy a little bit, because like, it used to be in the past, I could pick up a fantasy and I, like, 9 times out of 10, I'd love it. Like, at least a 4 stars, if not a 5. But lately, with the influx of just all of the romanticism now, where everybody's just writing it just to write it, it's just, you're kind of fighting through to find the good stuff, and I'm just getting, like, just not a good ones after another, and it sucks right now. So I'm like, I think I need to go into a different type of fantasy or do a reread or something.
I think you need to go back to Zodiac Academy is what it sounds like.
I might. I might.
Just kidding.
Yeah. But that one, that was horrible. What'd you read for your book club this month, Jess?
Well, it was kind of horrible too.
Oh no.
So For a while, I was rotating every other month with a coworker, and he didn't read the books, but he liked scary books. My book club doesn't really like scary books. I've figured this out. The ladies just don't like the scary books. They read them, but they're kind of like, this wasn't my thing. But he likes to pick them. And then he had to stop doing book club with me. And so now I'm stuck, but I'm stuck because we already requested the books. We already published that this was going to be the book for the month. So this was another scary book. I'm going to put that in air quotes because I don't think it was like, it wasn't like scary. It wasn't like horror. It was more like, I guess, suspense. I don't know. I don't read these books. I don't really know what it is. But it wasn't, it was kind of a murder mystery suspense type thing. We read Just the Nicest Couple. And one of the other ladies that I work with loves this author, loved this book. This is her genre. She loves it, loves it, loves it. And I'm just like, oh, well, maybe I just don't like these books. But my book club didn't like it either, which is also, they don't really like these books. So maybe they're great. I don't understand it. In the book, it's about two couples, and the wives are friends and coworkers. The one couple, they get into a fight, the husband leaves, and he goes missing. And the wife from the other couple is the last person to see him alive. And so then they're worried. Like right from there, the very next thing, the wife whose husband is still around, he makes this assumption and they just go with it. And it's the stupidest assumption. I have no idea why somebody would say this or do this or think this, but we're going to think this. And that dictates the rest of the book. And it is so stupid. I'm like, I don't understand why you even thought this. And I can't say anything because it's spoilers, but oh my God, it was so dumb. Like the whole rest of the book. I'm like, what? Why? Why did you make this choice? This is just making things worse. And the whole book, they're just like literally digging their hole deeper and getting themselves into more trouble instead of just saying what happened. It was so annoying. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that book? Did you say it? Sorry if you did. I definitely didn't hear it.
Just the Nicest Couple.
Just the Nicest Couple. Okay, definitely not on my list.
I can explain it to you later, but I can't on here because of spoilers. But then I was, so the guy who I was rotating with and the guy who originally picked the book, I was explaining to him why I didn't like the book. And he's like, he didn't care about that, of course. The one, like, maybe I'm just too Ravenclaw and too, I need it to make sense. And he's just like, well, what happened though? What happened to the guy? And he was all telling the story. I'm telling the story, and he's just like on the edge of his seat, like, oh my God. And then what happened? And I'm like, are you kidding me? It doesn't matter what happened because this one thing that started the whole thing is stupid. It was a whole thing. Sorry. I was very upset that people thought this was interesting.
Would your book club give it?
I think we ended up with like a 2-star average, some giving it like 1 and one like giving it like 3, and then, but most people were 2. They're usually pretty generous with their stars.
So he's not allowed to choose books anymore, right?
No. No. He also did that Bear Town one that we read a couple months ago. Mom was like, no. We don't need to read this stuff.
All right. Any events that you guys have been to or are planning to go to?
So I just wanted to throw out there that I did go to Daniel L. Jensen's release of A Curse Carved in Bone. So that was last time. I mentioned that last time. And then also, not that it's coming up anytime soon, but I won the Hunger Games of a PolyCon for next year in April 2026, and it was so hard to get. It like sold out in like 1 minute, and I just want everyone to know that my fingers are fast. and I got
you got that good internet.
Yeah. And I got 95% of the room block also. Just I didn't get one day. So if anyone wants to join me there, I've got a
room that I need help paying for.
But no ticket.
No, I don't got tickets for you. Sorry, those things are hard to get. Good luck on that. But if you get one and you need a room, I'm a cool roommate, I promise. I don't snore, right, Jess?
Right. And you go to book things with strangers.
This yeah, is, I've done this it
a proven fact. Including meeting them in New York.
My favorite thing is when Kelly was like, wait, you don't even know her?
You don't know her? Like, now I'm a snore on the internet.
Anyways, that's it. It's far from
read
now.
The book I was writing, that should be good enough.
Yeah, right? I like dogs. I'm a good person.
Well, we are going to go to, we as in me and my husband, we do the Harry Potter podcast, Broomsticks and Butterbeer, and we're going to be at Fan Expo in Chicago. It's August 15th through the 17th. We'll be doing Harry Potter trivia on the Saturday, the 16th.
Yay!
We've done it before up there. We usually get a good crowd, so if you're there, check us out.
They got good prizes.
And we've known for some time that we, the book Cave Girls, have an event coming up, but we haven't mentioned it yet. We're all going to meet up in Boston for Fourth Wing Night at the Red Sox game. People do not understand those words when I explain it to them. They're like, you're doing what?
I don't even fully understand it, but I'm going.
Yeah, right. They don't have anything to do with each other.
No, they do not. Like, is she from there? No.
No, she's from Denver.
Or a big fan? I don't think so. She's going to go, though. And we're going to go. And yeah. Yay.
I'm so excited. I just ordered my jersey.
Yay.
I'm very proud of myself.
Talk about how we're going to decorate those.
Yeah.
All right. How about any current reads or books you're looking forward to?
In all honesty, I just finished A Curse Carved in Bone like 2 hours ago when Catherine... Oh, by the way, everybody, Catherine couldn't make it tonight.
She's out of town for a wedding and is just busy with family stuff.
So, but
she's in my time zone, though. She totally confused me with that. She's like, what time are we recording? And I'm like, wait, what? What time zone are you in? How did this happen? None of us are in the same time zone. It's crazy.
We never are.
No. Well, Catherine and Anastasia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Usually. But Anastasia's in my time zone now. I mean, Anastasia. Catherine's in my
time zone. I was about to say, Anastasia, where are you?
I don't know.
I thought I was at my house.
But I wasn't too opposed to having some time to sit with what I read. So I was like, I'm down. Yeah, I'm also 2 hours before I finish. It's okay, I did finish though.
Well, I am reading Silver Elite by Danny Francis, supposedly. That's the one. That's the one that the internet blew up about when it was released, because the publisher, I guess, has said it's a pen name,
yeah,
and that this is a New York Times bestselling author, but they're writing under a different name. Some people were speculating that it was a certain super popular fantasy author. It's not, people. Why would she write under a pen name? That's just weird. But I started that this morning. I am already 60% in.
Wow.
And it's not, it's like 20-hour audiobook, I think. I didn't feel like it was that fat. It's 516 pages. But yeah, I like it.
You do? Huh.
I do like it.
Okay, because
wow. She's just saying she likes it. That's weird.
That's okay. So funny, because it's getting mixed reviews from people I follow, and the one girl said that Serpent and the Dove was better than that book, and I was like, well, I didn't really love Serpent and the Dove, so I'm not going to trust your review on that, so I still will give Silver Elite like a chance. So if you like it, Jess,
that is a weird comparison. I mean, I get why they're comparing that, but it's also a weird comparison. It's
only because, did you read that? It's only because they came out a similar time, so it just was, she was talking about both of them at the same time, and they were both kind of getting traction at the same time.
So I don't know. I'm sure they don't have anything to do with each other except that they came out around the same time.
They did? Serpent and the Dove?
Yeah, that's old.
Oh, not Serpent and the Dove.
I'm confused. Okay.
No. What is the other one? It's something like that. Hold on, you keep talking, Jess. Okay. I will look up the name of that.
It's fun because it's a dystopian, like, I don't think they've said exactly United States, but it is. It's a dystopian, like, United States. Kind of the Darkest Minds feel, where certain people got powers because of, like, the radiation fallout, so a little bit X-Men-ish, but more categorized, like Darkest Minds. And but it does have a very strong Fourth Wing flavor to it. That's the comparisons I'm making. I'm like, oh, you're that character. Oh, you're that, like, type of character. And having some fun with that. But they're not the exact same character.
They kept saying that it was like Hunger Games. Do you get that or no?
No.
Okay. And then someone said, well, it could be like
Divergent. Well, I mean, dystopian and our dystopian world, yes.
Okay, but also, I meant Shield and Sparrow. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Freaking Bird Books, you know?
Bird Books, good with man.
Bird puns and stuff. still not very good anyways. Well, okay, if you're liking it, Jess,
It definitely has the fun of Fourth Wing. It has that.
I might have to add that to my TBR.
To it. It's also, it's dystopian and a bit military. So that adds, I guess, to the Fourth Wing feel, the militariness of it. But anyway, it's fun. Hmm. I'm going to read some more tonight.
Someone said that it was written by AI and that the publishers were just trying to see if AI would work. Yeah, if they could work or not.
I heard that theory too, but then I also heard one that it's confirmed that it's a Canadian author. So who knows? Who knows?
All right. Well, I'm about to start a reread of Shadow in the Emperor because it's my next book club book for my library book club that I run. And so I'm looking forward to rereading that. Because I also have to read the rest of the series, so I've been meaning to reread that book and just power through the rest of it. So, it'll be fun.
Well, yeah, it got pushed back, so you have time.
Yeah, I was really excited about that, actually. I was like, I have some time to read. And I have to read summaries of what happened in From Blood and Ash, because I don't really remember a whole lot what happened. Like, I really liked it. But that's a lot of books, a lot of pages to read to prep for that. So I don't have the same amount of time that speed that Jennifer has. So I'll be reading summaries for that one.
Oh, speed of speed. This book, man, I kicked it up.
To what? Just
the audiobook reader is very slow.
More
very
than two.
Slow. Oh, yes. I'm almost at three.
Oh, my God.
I'm at like 2.9 because
I did that for Chris Carved in Bone.
Now that you couldn't handle, because once you throw the accents in there and you see it's too much.
How do you even understand what they're saying?
It's just gibberish. But this
it was skill. I got used to it.
I'm reading along, so I have the book in front of me, and just to keep pace with my reading speed, you know, to keep her talking speed to pace with me. But I did put the book down to, like, go grab a snack and walk away. And then I was like, whoa, slow down. What's happening? So it's not like I could do it if I didn't have the words in front of me. Or if my brain was also doing something else. But with just the book, yeah, I've kicked it up a lot.
That's like me with TV shows and subtitles. And then sometimes I turn away and I'm like, wait, what did you say? My brain.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I needed to also read that.
I need the words. All right. Are we ready? Anything else we need to talk about?
I think that's it.
All right, let's do it.
All right. If anybody that's listening now has not read A Curse Carved in Bone, we are about to start our spoilery discussion So it is time for you to leave if you do not want spoilers.
If you've only read the first book, there's a podcast for that. So go listen to that one.
All right. So goodbye, non-spoilery people.
Yep. If you don't want spoilers, it's time to sign off. And just in case, to give you more time to get off, we will talk about the cover. How'd you feel about the cover?
I like that it matches the other one.
Are you stealing that from my review?
I mean, I saw what you said, but I was like, yeah, I do like that it matches, actually. And I was like, you're right, she's kind of creepy looking.
Yeah, if I didn't know anything about the book, and I just picked it up, I'd have been like, ew, and put it right back down. But she's creepy looking, and I don't like it.
I do get what they're going for. Though,
yeah, me too.
It makes sense with the story and stuff, so.
Still kind of weird that you put it on the cover.
What would you rather see on the cover?
I don't know. I don't like people on the cover.
I know, you don't.
So, just not people. That would have been great.
The sprayed edges are really pretty, though.
Yeah. I'm kind of getting mad about the sprayed edges, though. It's like
I am, too, actually.
If the book's not good, you don't get sprayed edges.
It's mostly for special anniversary editions. You know? If the book is so good and it's reached, like, 10...
Oh, yeah, there's three requirements. Once you hit whatever, then you can have sprayed edges.
At least 10-year anniversary, at the minimum. Then you're like, okay, this book is still around. It's doing great. Let's give the fans some special edition.
No, once you sold so many copies, like records.
Oh, like they went
platinum.
This goes
gold. This one goes platinum. You get at one level, you get just like sprayed colored edges. And then on the next level, you get like stenciled sprayed edges. And then after that, you get like the foil inlay on the actual book cover and sprayed edges.
I forget which book box just did it, but they created a book. It's for From Blood and Ash. And they 3D cutted the pages to the sprayed edges. And so someone was like, that looks like you got water on your book. And I was like, I can't say for sure till I see it in person.
But it kind of say, now I can't see it.
Yeah. But it definitely showed, like, where do we go from here now that sprayed edges have become, like, the norm?
Yeah. Like, especially at the library when they're doing, the delivery from the books that have just been processed and being sent to us. And they're putting them on the cart, and it's just like every other book is sprayed edge now. And I'm like, ooh, what's this? And now I'm like, no, it's not even worth looking.
Well, my eyes still get drawn to pretty colors because I'm a goldfish.
I did get copies of The Shadows Between Us and Darkness Within Us with the sprayed edges.
They're so pretty.
I got them at the bookstore the other day.
Don't those have the ribbon too?
Yes, they do. They do have a ribbon.
I got hooked on the ribbon when I was reading Onyx Storm, the Target edition, because I was like, this is so handy. I can just put this ribbon here and put
my
clothes
in and
walk away.
The edition of the book, they get the ribbon.
There you go. That
edition gets a ribbon and sprayed edges. Like, you get to just add on. Anyway, so this story picks up just pretty much right after the first book ends. It's a little hectic in the beginning. I did not reread.
I did not reread after the last.
Did Catherine think she was rereading? Somebody was going to reread.
Catherine was rereading. I saw her mark on Goodreads.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did not reread. I just jumped in and was like, I'll figure it out. And I did for the most part.
It was a rough start for me.
I did remember them jumping off the water, like, but I couldn't remember everything that had happened except that he was going to get her away, and then like the betrayal part, like it all, the vibes were there, but the actual how it happened is still what, or at least was unclear until she kind of recapped it a little bit throughout the book.
I remembered nothing, absolutely nothing. I was like, who are these people? Why are we on a boat? What is happening?
Right out. No, I remembered that whole ending part. It was just like not the secondary, the thirdary characters. Is that a word?
Sure.
That I didn't remember. All like the little extra people. And a lot of them have very similar names. And I get that we had like a Norse theme going on,
yeah.
But these names, I couldn't keep them straight. Even seeing them on the page, it was hard to keep them straight. Until you told me what power that person had, I did not know who you were talking about.
I did better listening to it.
That's the arrow person.
Yeah.
That's the this person. Then I was like, okay, I can figure this out now.
Listening to it and having her pronounce their names correctly was a lot helpful versus I read the last, it took me like 40 minutes. I just sat down and read it instead. I was confused. I was
like, no, you know all these people.
I've been keeping track of them the last like 5 hours. I've been reading while I've been hanging my clothes. And then all of a sudden I'm like, who? Hail. Okay. Lean. All right. I'm the names don't sound as they're read, but I get it now.
Yeah. So even listening to the audiobook, there were certain names that she said that the way they sounded like other things to me. So like, I had, what?
I said Skull. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Skull. Huddle for like Huddle House. And, I don't know what his name is, but it sounded like Smutty to me. Like Smutty Book.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's like, oh, here comes Smutty. So, yeah.
I half listened and half read, and I did not think some of the names were pronounced the way that she pronounced them. I was like, that's how you say that? Whoops.
Okay, if you say so.
Like, what the brother of the love interest... His name is apparently Life.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was pronouncing it Leaf. And I was like, okay, sure. Would not have picked that out. Would not have guessed. Which definitely confused me when I heard it. I was like, who's Life? Is that a god? I don't think so. I know some Norse mythology. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. So I am not super familiar with Norse mythology other than like, you know, the Marvel Gate movie. but I think that would have helped having a little bit of background or maybe something in the book, you know, a page at the beginning or the end that kind of had a little bit more explanation. And that was one of the problems I had with it was because I didn't know all of the gods and goddesses that it kind of sometimes felt like she was pulling things out of thin air. Especially when we start adding to the group. Like, oh, and then there's this guy who can do this thing. Surprise! And I was like, wait a minute, what? How come this was never mentioned before? But, I don't know. It's just that kind of got to me towards the end. When we were just kind of pulling people out. And was like, and this one's a child of so-and-so. And now he can do this. And oh, here's another new one that you didn't hear about in the first book. Or the 90% of this book. So...
Yeah, what's funny is she's not even like, well, I shouldn't say that actually. I don't know her heritage, but I feel like she didn't have to go full blown, like all in on the names. Like maybe a few of the regular people could have had, you know, Norse names that were not so out there. Heart. Yeah.
Similar. I feel like some of them were very similar.
Well, yeah, that too. And then it's like, it's Skolin, it's Skuddy, it was a lot. And then it's Helen and Heal, and it was hard to keep track of, like, for sure. But it's not her fault that the names are like that, but it's also, she chose those names, so.
I mean, it's not much harder than any other fantasy book. I mean, well, some of those fantasy books look like they button smash on a keyboard.
Yeah.
But, so at least, like, these are actual names out there, you know, rather than just like random.
But it was just so many of them, so hard.
But there was a lot of characters to keep track of, a lot of names. But I do think that having like a as much of mythology background as I do. Like, I've studied it a bunch, and both for school and for, like, just personal interest. That did help a lot with this, because I did recognize some of the gods and the names and stuff. Not all of them, because I'm not as into Norse as I am some of the other mythologies, but I did kind of recognize some of the myths that they brought up, and I was like, okay, yes, I do know what they're talking about there. But I know that maybe not everybody would. So when I
said, know who Loki is and Thor, yeah, and Odin. Like,
Odin.
There you go. That's the other one I know.
I understood the myth that they brought up with Baldur, I believe. And I remember reading that one, and I was like, okay, I know where we're going with that part. But I could see how if you weren't really familiar with some of those gods and some of those myths, that you wouldn't really get what she was going for there. And I think you're right that a page at the beginning, or maybe tucked at the end, some sort of like glossary or whatever, with
just little kind of overview of the gods.
Because like with, you get more people that are familiar with the Greek myths than they are with like the Norse. So So those you can kind of almost just ignore putting a list of who's who, whereas this one, it's popular, but it's not on the same level like a familiarity for most people.
And I feel like it would have helped with the parameters for the magic too. If you gave me a list of all the gods and goddesses, and then, you know, I could reference that, and then I would know, oh, you didn't just pull this one up because you need somebody. Because I like my magic to have borders, parameters. I want to know what's possible and what's not. But this one, towards the end there, it kind of felt like she was just pulling all these other ones out. And I was like, is this just because you need it for the story? Or, I don't know, it just felt like it was coming out of nowhere. Like it was kind of getting limitless. And you can't have magic that's limitless.
So, Karina Hill, she writes... Oh, it's Finnish mythology. Never mind. I'm just going to zip my mouth and...
Never mind.
Stop what I was about to say.
All right. How did we feel about the characters? So, ignoring the names, the characters as, you know, people.
The beginning, Freya being so annoyed at Bjorn was driving me bonkers. I was like, I get it. You're mad at him. But I was like... I don't know, maybe it was just the tone of voice the girl was using in the narrative.
It was a total tantrum.
Yeah.
In the book.
I was like, okay, we get it. Just shut up about it then.
Can we give him the silent treatment then?
Yeah, you don't have to get back together with him, but just zip your mouth like I just did earlier.
Focus on something else.
I was having a hard time with that too.
It
drove
me nuts.
Like, yeah, I think it's just used so often in a lot of the books lately, the like, oh, you know, he betrayed her somehow, but it's actually not much of a betrayal or whatever, because there's, you know, justified reasons, and so it's not actually bad, but she's still mad anyway. And I'm like, okay, we're doing this again. Excellent. I need a book to not do that, just like, just break it up a little bit. Just a little.
Well, the thing I liked so much about the first book was that we were very sarcastically making fun of the tropes. So if we had taken that approach again, where we're going to like sarcastically make fun of this trope where he betrayed me and now we can't get back together, but I still love him, whininess, I don't know, it just didn't have the same flavor as the first book where we were poking fun at very obviously the overused tropes. So I kind of missed that from the first book to this book.
It just seemed like, I think I listened to it for, I don't know how long the audiobook is, but I definitely listened to it for like 5 hours yesterday while I was like cleaning out one room, and then another 4 hours today while I was like hanging clothes and stuff. And I was like, she just went on and on and on until it got to that one point where I felt like this actually should have been 3 books in a series. When they find out that Saga was dead all the whole time. I felt like that would have been a nice ending for a second book and then the start of a third book.
Oh, yeah. Like leaving them trapped on the island.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do?
Yeah. It felt like that. It just all felt a little rushing, very compounded. But although I don't think I would want a third book to listen to, but I'm just saying that that also would have been a great spot to like stop.
I can see that. Yeah, she was fine as a main character. And honestly, I'm realizing that, like, actually, I probably realized it a little earlier, but I don't remember, like, any of the other characters. It's been, like, I think only a few days since I read it. And they're just gone.
Yeah, besides Bjorn and his two dads, and kind of his mom is all of those other characters just got jumbled together for me. I could not keep anybody else straight. Nobody else really mattered.
The girl who sings songs.
Yeah, they would just come in, do their thing, and go.
Her name is Dinan. Don't hold me to it.
I can't correct you. I don't know.
And then there's her brother who starts with an H. And then there's...
one who sings has a brother? I don't think so.
No, sorry. Then there's Freya's brother who starts with an H.
I thought it was a G. Yeah. I thought it was like Gear or something. Gear.
Oh, yep, you're right. It is with a G.
Is Gear.
Yeah, well, her brother was a little more interesting in this one.
He's dead.
Even though he was dead. But he was worthless in the first one. But this one, he's like, no, I got you, sis.
Like, okay. No problems. Who cares if you killed me?
You almost got her killed in the first book because you're being selfish. And now it's like, I'm dead. I don't care. I'll do whatever you want.
Was there a POV on the narrator for Bajoran last book?
Oh, I don't know.
No, right? I thought that was an odd choice because his point of view did not change any part of the story or add to it at all, or if that was just me.
I think you were just supposed to see how badly he was suffering.
Oh my god, suffering so bad.
Suffering and yearning and suffering and suffering.
And how much and he loved her, and even if she hated him, he was still gonna love her.
Well, they were split up there for a while, so you did need his point of view.
Well, we could have just got that from the bird.
So the bird gets a point of view?
No, she's going to come back and tell Freya everything she saw. Kaya, whatever her name was.
Yeah, but not she couldn't tell Freya. She'd have to tell the guy, and the guy was, like, missing for part of it. And, like,
that's true.
Passed out and ran away for part of it. And, you know. There were complications. So no other interesting character. I mean, the guy with the bird, like, well, not the guy with the bird. The bird was the most interesting
character. I thought the two wolves. Yeah,
yeah.
The two wolves. Yeah,
I
you
like
know me.
The wolves.
I love familiars. Yeah.
So they were pretty cool. And I don't know, there were a couple of times, though, where I was like, I think I see where this is going. And then I don't know.
I think the concept like
I wanted her to
fun.
Save the day, like the powerful main character, but then things would just happen and it all fall apart, and then kind of just fluked into.
I definitely didn't see. Gosh, I don't know how to say his name, Harold, or whatever. being the son of Loki and
Huddle
having
House.
Like Harold taking over, you know, people's bodies. So that was a twist I wasn't expecting, but also didn't like blow my mind or anything. I was just
yeah,
like, okay.
But he was really sus there for a yeah. while. They were like, oh, he's so great. Don't worry, Freya. I'll do anything you want. And it's like, you're being really suspicious.
I think well, the whole world and story was fun, but for whatever reason, I could not connect with it.
Yeah, it had all the elements, but...
Yeah, like, the ideas were really fun, and the world was really cool, but I don't know, it just wasn't really meshing with me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just reader error because of all the stuff that blends to me. Like, maybe if they were all normal names, it wouldn't have been so hard for me to keep track of what was happening. So I don't want to, like, write it off based on I definitely had trouble understanding what was happening.
I mean, there have been other books where I had, like, 50 million names and needed a family tree to read with it.
Yeah.
With it. But, like, it's, and that was super complicated.
Yeah, that's true, because people say that about Crescent City, and I'm like, no, I was on board with that.
You basically learn a new language with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I liked the story. I liked the main characters. I liked the idea of it. I liked the sassy poking fun of tropes in the first book. But then it just got too muddled with all the characters that I couldn't pronounce the names. I also don't feel like they were very important.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have condensed some of them or not had named characters for all every single little thing.
Yeah, maybe they just called the girl who sang songs, like, the song singer.
Or just had her and the arrow one and then been done with it. But we had to have all these ones that don't...
We had the girl who gave her the shield, too. I was like, where'd you come from, Gaia?
Don't really have a big role for anything, but yet you're throwing them in there to muddle up our brain. If it was more clear who was important. I think I get on authors a lot about that when I'm reading. I'm like, who do I need to remember? Yeah. Who is important? And then make it super clear, and then let you can have the other ones as filler characters, but
you don't need everybody's life backstory. Like, yeah. She gives a lot of little backstories of every single person, like the guy with the bird, this his dogs and ate his dad or something. Like, there was lots of little...
Dog ate the dad?
Yeah, what? The dog he, like, supposedly entranced or whatever. Killed the dad. Gernenheimer.
Because Huddle House was pretending to be the dad and hurt the mom. And so then the kid saw his dad hurting his mom. And so he sent his dog on his dad, which ended up being his real dad, not Huddle House.
All right. Yeah, never mind. I'm remembering now.
I know the story.
Anyways, everyone has these, like, intricate backstories that you think are going to play. I guess they did, because the whole point was Huddle House.
To convince you that Huddle House was a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, he wasn't, because you had to find out that he was the one causing all the problems. That was another thing. So when she sang her story, it showed the truth that he was not Huddle House, but Loki's son. Or a child of Loki or whatever. But when she sang everybody else's story, it didn't sing the truth?
That's a good question.
That it was Huddle House causing all the problems?
Maybe she just never sung those specific people's stories?
No, she said she sang their story. She sang everybody's story but hers. And those were the stories she spread around to make Huddle House sound like a great person. I don't understand.
Maybe because she had heard the story from their mouths and that's how they had witnessed it, versus when Freya saw it, she saw it for what it was truly. Huddle House is a bad guy. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah, she saw how they remembered it or retold it. I don't know.
Yep. Plot holes.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that part. And that was another thing, like, I don't know. I like my main characters to actually save the day, not have some weird technicality. Like, oh, she sang it and it showed the real truth to everybody. And, I mean, yeah, Freya convinced her, but I also felt like she didn't do much.
Yeah. She clawed her way out of the ground.
Yeah, well, no, because her brother had to help her and shove her through, and then she was dead, and then like, every time it set her up to do something great,
and she never was.
I was like, come on, give her one win.
Did I already say I gave it 3 stars? It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't. I won't be rereading this series, that's for sure.
I also gave it 3 stars.
Did I give it 3? I don't remember.
I think so. I think this is one of the first times we've all been in agreement, besides maybe a couple others.
Yeah. But. I definitely thought the ending was it was all let me wrap this up, and then let's just throw in that they're gonna, go back on an adventure because a life of, laying around and banging all day isn't for them. I don't know. I'm glad it's over. I'm trying to finish the Gods and Monsters series by Kayla Edwards before Tuesday, and it wasn't happening with this book needing to be done today. Oh, goodness.
Anything else you guys want to say about this one?
I don't know. It was just a weird combination. Like I said, I liked the characters. The world was interesting. And then there was just the rest of it.
The execution just didn't hit the mark.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that's it,
Wait, do we know what our next book is next month? Maybe we could say it.
We're going to read The Assistant to the Villain and The Accomplice to the Villain?
Yeah.
Is that the second one?
No, it's the Apprentice.
Apprentice to the Villain. There we go.
The Accomplice one is the new one.
We're getting ready for the new one, Accomplice. We are. Just too similar.
I'm so excited. I love following Hannah and Nicole Mayer, so I look forward to reading both of these.
They're a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying those books.
She's hilarious. Everyone should follow her on Instagram or TikTok or wherever she posts her videos. They are so good.
So yeah, we're gonna do 2 books next month. And like I said, in preparation for the new book coming out, we'll do that the month after that. And that's what we got going on.
Sounds good.
Maybe next time Catherine will be with us.
Yeah. I don't know. I've missed twice, right? I've missed once. It's okay.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Life's too busy for all 4 of us to be able to get together all the time.
It's not too bad so far, though.
It's been pretty good.
All right. I think that's it. Thank you. You are amazing.
No mourners.
No funerals.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.